What's up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another game cast. I'm one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Hello, everybody.
And today we're going to have a pretty cool show talking about TV shows, specifically black-led TV shows, because those are awesome. And since we're black, we thought it would be a good idea to talk about them. More so than that, this idea kind of came up because recently, via my subscription to HBO Max, I've been watching The Fresh Prince, like, back-to-back. Just about every night, because they took away Frasier. This has nothing to do with anything, but they took away Frasier from
Which is
Netflix.
Your favorite show?
It's one of my favorite shows, and like, one of the things I used to do when I was younger, let's say high school and before, was before I went to bed, I would watch something, and it would kind of wind down, I guess. Especially if I had like a really anxiety filled day, it would kind of like wind me down, and then I could go to sleep. And so
it was before you were allowed to drink.
Well, I still don't drink, but yeah, that exactly though. Before you were allowed to drink, this that would have been my wine. Right now, it's a cream soda and the Fresh Prince. So, but yeah, like Nick at Night, if anyone's old enough to remember what that was, I think it's still going on. But I would watch, classic shows like The Dick Van Dyke Show and Mary Tyler Moore and stuff like that. And it would, outside of it being funny and me like being enamored by the writing style and just the whole idea of how things are shot. I'm kind of a nerd for TV and movie type stuff. So it would be something cool for me to watch. And then fast forward to now, Netflix has been my go-to. Since I don't have cable, and I was watching, at one point I was watching A Different World, and then it was Frasier, and then a couple other shows, and they keep taking them off, and it's annoying. But anyways, I was watching The Fresh Prince, and I was noticing how, well, for one, I've forgotten how corny it was.
Yes.
But it did a good job of addressing certain issues that black people have or black people face, and they did a solid job with a lot of different aspects of that show. I mean, obviously one of them is the fatherhood ship segment that they did, that's the episode that everyone remembers, right? The where Will he steps his acting up, and it's the episode with his dad comes into the picture and he leaves again, and Will kind of has like a meltdown. One of the best episodes of TV, I think. And it was like, wow, like there's a lot of things that they touched on in terms of entertainment, but then also just addressing things that we kind of deal with, or just our life. It was cool to see, it's cool to see us. And so this this episode we wanted to talk about us on TV.
Exactly.
And some of the shows that we enjoyed growing up. Now, just to be fair, or not fair, to be upfront, there's a lot of shows. I watch a lot of TV. And I know there's going to be some black shows that I miss. I'm not going to talk about Sanford and Son. I watched it, but I don't remember it like I remember The Cosby Show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember it. I watch Rock, and Rock was great with dealing with certain certain issues, especially when it came to black people dealing with other black people. Solid show, but I don't remember it like I remember A Different World. And the same thing with was it 227, and there's a lot.
That was my show.
Good times. Like, if you feel a way that I'm not mentioning a certain show, I'm trying to let you know this is why. Like, I haven't had access to them like I have had access to some of these other shows.
Right.
And just, a part of growing up, like I've seen it all, but, certain TV shows were more popular in the 90s and 80s and whatnot. So, anywho.
And we'll remember them. Like, it's not that we don't. Like, we remember 227. We remember watching all of those shows that were like, oh my God, man, if somebody says it right now, like if somebody said, you remember 227, I'd be like, oh my God, yes, that's my show. Just like you just did.
Right.
If somebody said, you remember Sanford and Son, I'd be like, oh my God. Yeah, I remember it. But because the last time I was immersed in those shows was when I was young, and we're kind of old now. So if it if it's been 25 plus years since I've sat down and watched five episodes of that show, then right. you know, I'm like, I can't even remember the stuff that went on Jamie Foxx show. That's how long ago I used to watch that show.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a fun show. It was great. I love that show, but I couldn't really tell you what happened. Like, it's more recent that I've been able to say, oh yeah, I remember. I'm re-catching up on Living Single, or I'm re-catching up on Martin, because they're easily accessible.
Right.
Sanford is easily accessible too. I was actually watching some episodes like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I used to watch a show every day in the summer.
Is it on Hulu now?
No, it's on TV. I know you don't have cable, but it's on, it comes on like BT, TV One, and it might come on OWN, honestly, and VH1. So VH1 and BT play the same things. They're the same company, you know, they play the same things. And then TV One will obviously play all Black shows. And then isn't there one other channel that plays, like, that just intentionally plays Black shows? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. But yeah, so if you do have cable and you do have those channels, you can watch Fresh Prince, you can watch Living Single, you can watch Martin, you can watch Sanford and Son, and you can watch Good Times. Like, those are always on, always. Yeah. They never take those off of TV.
Dope. See, that's part of my problem. I don't have cable, and so actually I haven't had cable since college, and so
yeah,
it's like, about that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if it's not on a streaming service, I kind of, and I'm trying to buy them if I can. And unfortunately, some of them I can't buy, and I get it. I get why. You know, circumstances with certain actors and whatnot. But I would like to own them, because I would like to watch them. And because there's a lot, there's a lot of things that kind of, you know, they touched me in different ways, or they meant something, or they encouraged me to be, you know, who I am today. Interesting stuff. Like, I'm starting off with The Cosby Show, right? So, like, The Cosby Show is, like, joke-wise, is still hilarious. It's just, it's really funny. And what's interesting, though, is the idea of a solid Black family. Even though they had, you know, their own issues and whatnot, just being able to relate to that. And it's funny, because I was like, you know what? I'm going to get me a Claire Huxtable. I am. It was crazy is that it's just about there. I mean, she's not, you know, my wife isn't Hispanic, or, you know, like Claire, her character on the show is, I want to say she's mixed. Black and Hispanic. There's during the pilot, like, she speaks Spanish. One of the few episodes where she does is the pilot episode.
I don't even remember.
Yeah, so like, there's a part where she's yelling at one of her kids, and she just starts speaking Spanish, like going up the steps, and you know, Cosby's character is like, I have no idea what you're saying. so like, but I was like, you know what, because how she is as a wife. She works, she's smart, she's tough, she has a sense of humor, like, she's gorgeous. Like, there are so many things that like, I would like to attribute, to a future spouse. And then it happened. And what's funny, I thought about this earlier today, was we also have the same, you know, like, they had three girls and one boy, and so do we. So I was like, it happened. But there was things that, you know, outside of like just having a tight knit family, was the fact that like the writers wouldn't allow for negative stereotypes. There was there were stereotypes there, but it was from a Black perspective. Like, there are some things that we do as Black people that we can relate to, and we can see, like, oh yeah, a Black person would do that. That isn't necessarily being put on a pedestal or being seen as some type of caricature. And so it was very much a Black show, but we were able to be whatever we were on the show. And that was really a great thing. And then from there, like, the idea of like schooling, going to college, you know, going to, was it HBCU? even though I didn't go to one, but like the idea that like there's a sense of pride there, there's a sense of place there, there's a sense of just so much with that show that it's one of my favorite shows, like of all time. And even though it's like I said, it's been tainted now, the messages that are there and some of the lessons that I've learned from watching the show stick with me.
Yeah, the show meant so much. I mean, it was a time in which us as family, we would crowd together in front of the TV. You know, it was like, Cosby Show's coming, get this done before you need to get your homework done, or you're not watching Cosby Show, you know, stuff like that. And we all ran to get in front of the one TV set that we had. And we were together. We spent that half hour together watching this show and laughing together. You know, I'm sitting there almost the same age as Rudy. Actually, I think Rudy's probably like a year or two older than me or something. I don't, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I'm sitting there watching this stuff. I'm a little kid. I'm a tiny little kid. I may not even understand what's really happening. I'm just like, you know, because I was like two when the show came out. Okay, I once again showed how old I was.
Still, I mean, yeah, we're up there. We're a little up there, but it's okay. It's okay. It's good. We're
Okay.
at a solid we're a solid generation. We've been through a
Solid.
lot and we're still here. So,
And we're still here. We grew up on the cusp of a generation, dude. Like,
yes.
we grew up on the cusp of an age. Not that many people get to say that. We grew up on the cusp of a whole era in
Yeah.
time.
It's bananas and how far we've gone in terms of like, I mean, just technology in our life, in our lifetime has like blossomed crazy. Like if someone were to say like we would be the Jetsons starting now to the future, I'd be like, all right, cool. Because obviously the 2000s are not what we thought it was gonna be. But yeah, going back to the Cosby Show, like it was an event. It was an event.
It was a family event, yeah.
And like there's things that I remember, like how they addressed certain things fit like as a family. And there's things that like even things I'm like, yo, that's a really cool saying. I'm gonna say that when I have kids. You know, there's an episode and my wife makes fun of me, but there's an episode where I forget the daughter's name, but she brought home like she got married. She went to college and got married, came back and she
Which
had
one, Sandra or Denise?
Denise, there you go. No, not Denise. It's the one that married Dabness, the handyman. Ah, shoot. So
All I remember is what's his name's fine self.
oh
Okay. The
goodness.
tall one with the baby with Simone. Okay, with
Okay,
Raven
that was
Simone.
Denise. That was Denise. And then
Denise
Sandra
Merriman
got married to the
to
doctor.
Delvin.
Yeah. Elvin was yeah, he's a trip.
Elvin, that's right.
But no,
And then
what is the daughter's name?
Tempest Bledsoe,
Yeah, that's
her
her
name
real
on the
name.
show. Yeah, her name on the show was
Gosh, what
I
is her
forget.
name?
It always escapes me because Vanessa.
Vanessa, there you go.
Okay.
So she comes home and she brings Dabness home and their parents are like upset. Now mind you, they like Dabness. Like Dabness is mad cool. He can fix a lot of stuff that Cliff can't fix. So like obviously his wife loves him. He's respectful, mannerable, and he's willing to be with Vanessa, who is all over the place, right? And so they're like, already, these are good things, but the fact that you got married, it's like we didn't know, we couldn't even get there. And so like when they're around the dinner table and they're meeting him, and she's like, she's kind of like, what's the problem? And Dabness is, feeling away, and Cliff is like, you know what? You like steak, right? And he's talking to Dabness. And he's like, you like steak? And he's like, you like you put the onions on, you put all this stuff on, right? And he's like, yeah, it sounds great. He's like, awesome, right? Now we what if I did all that, but I brought it to you on a trash can lid? And he was like, what? He was like, that's what she did. That's what Vanessa did to you. She dressed you all up and then she brought you home on a trash can. It's not very appetizing, is it? It's not very. And I was like, that is such a clever way of depicting or just explaining how
Yes.
you're not necessarily the problem. It's how my child chose to go about things. You know what I mean?
That's
Like, it is just, but it's like, and it's just a simple, it's not like a, you know, it's not like he solved or cured cancer or anything, but it was funny, and it was a clever way of just explaining something. Or like anytime when they do a thing where, like, you know, like someone like Theo is like, you know, I'm gonna drop out of school, I'm just gonna work. And so they change the house to be like the real world, where he has to like rent an apartment and all this other stuff. Just like, who does that? Like, but it
Who
was
does
so
that?
great. It was
And
so great.
it was almost a little impossible. Like, obviously the show was very well done in a way that it was very attractive. Like, it kept the audience, because if it was to get a little bit more real, the fact that Claire is a lawyer and, you know, Heathcliff is a an obstetrician, these are two professions in which they shouldn't be home. You know, it being home to raise five children, like, it's almost unheard of. And but they were there, they were available. I mean, yeah, they had grandparents were close and stuff, but it's kind of interesting to think about this woman who is a successful lawyer, and then to think of him as a successful obstetrician, somebody who either has his own private practice or whatever it is. Them having the schedule in which allowed them to be on camera with their children, it's a it that's not the same thing that happens today. You know what I mean?
Of course, of course.
You know, and so even us growing up, getting to see that was very, very placed. It was very well placed, because it made something that the majority of Black Americans were going through in this country more attainable. Even though the way it was actually written, if you look at it kind of in a realistic sense, is like, this is dream world.
Right.
This, because it, you know, it's just perfect. Even the way that they handled their family situations with those lessons, those life lessons that they would teach their children, just like, oh my God, I love the one where Theo's like, yeah, I'm going to work, and he was going to go to San Francisco, and then the dad's like, how much money are you going to make? And Theo's like, $35,000 a year. And he's like, that's great. Go. Like, goodbye. Get out of here. I don't have to take care of you anymore. Bye. And even there was that episode where Denise was arguing with her parents in regards to spending her own money.
Oh, yes.
And you know, Cliff is like, do you want to take, you know, to Claire, he's like, do you want to take this or should I? And Claire's like, oh, I'm gonna take this. And you know, Denise is going off and going like, you know, it's my money, I should be able to do what I want with my money. And then Claire basically tells her to, you know, okay, if that's how you feel, then go pay your own insurance, go pay your own this, go buy your own this, and see if you have enough money left to turn on the lights, like keep the electricity going. And it was so well said that Denise is like, yeah, maybe I should just walk out of this room backwards. And I also that happened a similar situation happened like that to me when I was in college, because like I was really fed up with my parents because I just felt very unsupported, and I was struggling so much when I was in school. I was struggling, you know, I was on the original struggle bus.
Oh,
The
gosh.
original struggle bus actually has my name in it and like on the side, but it wasn't painted with my name and thought. It was other words. It was another word, and then the kind of like the paint got chipped and it said my name. I'm just saying, that's just the original struggle bus. And so it was my bus, and I was on it, and I was trying to get off the struggle bus and get a car. And my parents had been talking about getting me a car, and it just never came to fruition. It was just a thing. It just kept being talked about. And it just felt like no one was trying to help me. And I was struggling. Like, when I was living at home, I had a job. I went to school, you know, I finished high school, but I worked. I've been working since I was 15 with a real income, you know. Screw the babysitting stuff that I did since I was 10. Like, no, I was working at a real job and I was getting paid. And I had my own money, and my parents were the ones who forced me to go to Richmond. I wanted to stay home and work and go to school because I knew that I could take care of myself because my parents were not to be trusted. So
wait, they weren't to be trusted.
I just have to say it like it is sometimes.
Okay.
They were not to be trusted when it came to my finances.
You got to explain this. How?
I feel like I was struggling since I was 15. I'm like, wait, I only get paid like $7 an hour. It was actually $6.18. I was like, I only get paid $6.18. I didn't realize that I was going to be responsible for like everything now. Just saying.
Oh, goodness.
Like pennies, and it's like, oh, by the way, yeah, you have to pay for your prescriptions. You know, I'm just like stuff out there, but I'm just saying, it was like, you know, when you're a teenager and you're like, oh, I didn't realize you wanted me to start paying rent now. Okay, I got you.
That's so anyway, rough.
Moving on.
Yeah, that's a whole other conversation.
It's a whole other conversation, but you know, African families were like, hey, carry your weights. Oh. It was like, you didn't like jump on the boat to come here and then expect not to oar just because you were what, underage? You better row that boat. Okay. You better help this family. Anyway, so I'm in college. I'm in like year two and a half or three. I don't remember. I think it was third year by this time. I'm struggling because I live off campus, you know, got to pay rent. My mom's helping me pay the rent. And just trying to survive. But it got to the point where it's extremely frustrating. And where I lived off campus and I lived kind of far off of campus. And it just took a lot of energy for me to get anywhere and to get a job. So that it happened after 9/11 and no one was hiring. And then like, this is something that I do deal with, but my last name, it perks people's ears and then they automatically start thinking things because of my last name. And then I get put into a box. So unfortunately, yeah, that always affected me negatively. And I couldn't get a job. I couldn't get a job anywhere. I applied at Arby's across the street from but like about a half mile from where I lived or a mile from where I lived. And they're like, yeah, sorry, we're not hiring. I'm like, there's sign in your window. What's wrong with you people? So the point is that, yeah, I was struggling a lot and I needed a car because I lived off campus. It was really, really hard to get to class. I had to rely on my roommate and our schedules were just differing. And I got really fed up one day because my parents, like I said, they kept telling me that they were going to get me a car. I found a car that I thought that, you know, we could afford, we could work something out, something cheap, you know, it was like $2,000, less than that. And I kept sending the info to my parents. I was like, can you please help? Like the car's for sale in my neighborhood, da, da, da. And they were just like, pushing it off. And I remember sending an email to the both of them. Okay. I remember the both of them were on this email and I demanded, like in my email, I was like, somebody needs to get me a car. Okay.
Gosh.
I said that because I was so fed up. I was frustrated as heck. And I just said, somebody needs to get me a car.
You can't. You can't CC your parent and then say,
I know. I know you can't. I know you can't because guess what? It didn't get me a car. So if that's not a better way to learn people, don't demand stuff from your parents when they're already not doing it. They're just going to stare at you and not do it more.
Right.
And the only thing that's worse than not getting a car is not getting a car while your parents are slowly tapping their fingers on a table, staring at you and slowly sipping water or bourbon.
Oh, goodness.
Anywho, my point is I was Denise once. I did that whole like kind of like bratty thing where I was just like, get me a car. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And I remember my mother responding and my father responding and saying, right, what you need to do is get off this computer and stop sending us emails. What you need to do is go do your schoolwork. What you need to do is never come sideways at us again. Like, you may not have a home to come back to once you're done with school. That
Man, so, shoot.
Yeah.
But Denise was worse though, because she was very much Like, at the very least, it's like, okay, I need a car. I need to go because I need to work. I need to do things.
Yeah.
You're already in college. Denise wasn't in college yet. She wasn't done with high school.
Right.
She just wanted a car. I think she turned 16, and they had a savings account for her.
Yeah.
And
Your mic is kind of muddy, Kenny.
oh, it's money. My fault. Give me a
Yeah.
sec. Give me a sec.
But
Talk
no,
about
yeah,
the.
you're right.
Oh,
She
okay, cool.
was it like, yeah, and then demanding money and demanding X, Y, and Z, and she had
Yeah.
super
And it was like you haven't finished high school yet, and your parents had a savings for you, and you had already tried to spend it on multiple things that just fell through. And so now you want to buy a car, but the car that you're trying to buy, I think she had like let's just say 1600 or something along those lines. The car was like 15. So they were like, what about insurance? What about gas? What about all these things? You didn't think about all these things. You just lost your mind.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it was it was crazy, but it was good though, because it was like, okay, I know what not to do
Yes.
when I ask for a car. Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah. I think I forgot that episode ever existed.
Man, there's so many like I mean, and don't get me wrong, there were some bad episodes too. There was the whole Rudy wanting to change her, because like she was either it was the one where she was hitting puberty like right before or right after her friends, and so they were like like blossoming and she wasn't. And I think that episode had a long. There's a part where it's like a bit of a musical kind of like they play music and she's just angry, like stomping around her room, and it was like this is going on for a little too long, guys. Like this is like director's cut status. Like you could just cut this out. We don't need this part, So there was and then there was like the time where Cliff ate. I think he had like a sub
Oh,
for
he gave
dinner.
birth to the
Yes, like he had a bad dreams and like yeah. There were some bad episodes, but
sandwich.
there was
Yeah,
also some really good
that
ones. There was some really good ones. Another show that I really liked, which is not ironic, I guess, is A Different World. And A Different World was a little different, no pun intended.
sounds good.
Because it dealt with issues that I think the Cosby Show tried to stay away from a little bit. Or at least they had the agency to do it. A Different World was like, not only did it deal with college and black people going to college and stuff like that, it also dealt with like racism. It dealt with the concept of rape. It dealt with AIDS and HIV. Dealt with the rioting in LA. Like just a bunch of stuff, and they did so in a good way. Like it wasn't like the reason why I mentioned like how corny like the Fresh Prince was because when they would have these serious episodes, they would also have the corny parts, and they would kind of take away a little bit, and I don't know if this was because, and I can't say this for all shows, but I feel like, and I'm gonna be a little mean here, forgive me, but I feel like UPN, some of the shows on UPN, some of the jokes were not for us. In some of those shows, they were for other people, and I'll just leave that at that. So, with the Fresh Prince being corny, I'm like, this might not be for us in this situation. But they still got their point across. Whereas something like Family Matters, it was so corny in that some of it lost me in that show. A Different World, though, when they were serious, they were really serious. And they dove into things respectfully and, in a way that made me think like, oh, you did some research. I remember the HIV episode where Tisha Campbell actually came on as a guest, a guest character, and her character had was HIV positive, and people were afraid of her. They didn't want to like touch her and all this other stuff, and it was like how people thought that you could get AIDS back in the day. Like they thought like, you could just bump into someone and you can catch it or, get it or whatever. And not understanding how it works and all this other stuff. And so they dealt with that aspect, but then they also dealt with people who had multiple partners and what it meant to practice safe sex. And so it was a lot for that one episode, but
Right.
they did it in a way that's like you could understand. There were still funny moments, but there were it was serious in a respectful way.
I think it stuck to the sitcom formula, which is why they were able to deliver it, because in sitcom, true sitcom fashion, these shows had a certain time limit, and so they knew the exact minute that they had to deliver, to present and deliver a joke. And so they have a formula in which they can fit all of those things into a less than 30-minute episode. It's law, if you know what I mean, like insert here, insert issue here, insert problem, insert response, insert stereotypical response, insert solution to problem, insert reaction. And it worked very well. In the formula, it was delivered to us exactly the way it needed to be. And I think one of the great parts about that show was that it came, since it came from, since it was the child, kind of literally in a way, of the Cosby Show, which was so perfect, which kind of showed us something that was very, very perfect. A Different World was properly titled, even, because this is, let's just take Denise from this perfect kind of, Cosby era and going into college. And it for us, not just even for her as a character, for us as viewers, A Different World was actually a different world from the Cosby Show.
Right.
We're introduced to other topics that we wouldn't have gotten on the Cosby Show. And it opened up the world from here we have perfection in a bubble to multiple vectors and lots of different emotions and lots of different characters from different lives kind of crashing into one place. And it was a microcosm of truth, of the real experience of what it means to kind of leave your own safety bubble from home. And the viewer got to go along on that trip. It wasn't just watching characters experience it. It was us experiencing it, taken out of our perfect bubble of Cosby and then thrown into this, for lack of a better word, they gave it to us, a different world.
Yeah, and it was a solid idea. It was solid because it was, I mean, granted, I don't know how this would have how this came across with the people who were older who were watching. Me being younger, it kind of resonated with me in a different way because it was like before you go to college, before you experience these things, you're seeing it. Where someone who's probably ahead of that time might have seen it a little differently. It might have, hit a little different. Although they did have issues with adults, and how they handled certain things dealing with younger people as well. So it was still interesting. Like for instance, Sinbad's character during the first few seasons and how he was a role model with a lot of the kids, but then he ended up dating one of the students there because she was older, she was coming back to college and she had been married.
Jaleesa.
Jaleesa, there you go.
Jaleesa. Because I have a friend named Jaleesa who actually kind of think they remind me of each other.
Oh wow.
Kind of funny.
But like, yeah, so there was definitely a lot of comedy in that. And yeah, it brought upon a lot of different social issues and things to really think about and kind of contemplate. Even from a younger aspect of, racism and stuff like that, it's like, wow, like there's a lot of history and a lot of information here that I'm getting each episode.
Stuff I didn't even grasp when I was younger. I had to watch the episodes older as an older person, even grasp some of the stuff. Because I could go back now and be like, oh my God, I haven't seen this episode for 10 years. This is hitting me differently right now.
I mean, some of it was prepping. Like it if anything, it's like seeing it then was conditioning me to see it later. And when I see it later, it's like I'm putting the pieces together, and it's like I more so appreciate what they were trying to do. And even when things kind of got like, I don't want to say like they kind of went off the rails, but they kind of, they had to keep it fresh. And so, the students became teachers and or professors, and that was cool too. It was a little bit more. There were certain aspects where they were focusing on things that I don't know. It was, I guess, not as important, and so it made it kind of like, I mean, obviously you wanted to see, like, Dwayne get with
Whitley.
Whitley, and so you
Yeah.
wanted that sort of thing. But then there was all these, like, love triangles and all this other stuff that popped up, and it was like, no, get back to the stuff that you were talking about before, because that was
Yeah.
really cool. But still an awesome show, one of my all-time favorite shows.
Yeah,
Still
definitely.
funny, very
It
well-written jokes.
is.
And also I like how, and this is something that I think all of them did, whether it was the Fresh Prince, Cosby, A Different World, Martin, whatever, they had people come on who were either rising stars or had, like, that was their first entry into, stardom. Black people on the show, kind of like A Living Color. They would pull people. And so, like, for instance, Tisha Campbell, she was on A Different World. She was also on The Fresh Prince. And I believe she was on The Cosby Show. I have to double check. And
As
then,
a 5-year-old.
right, and then, well, she was the main person, one of the main characters on Martin. But then if we go backwards, Co is actually Cockroach from The Cosby Show. So,
Yeah,
like,
he is.
yeah, so, like, they pull each other in and kind of, like, and granted, there's some negative stuff that happened behind the scenes, but we're not going to get into that. But as far as, like, hey, you're black and you're talented, let me pull you over here because we have something going on and you might not get recognized somewhere else. I noticed
Yeah.
that. And so, for instance, with The Fresh Prince, they make a lot of jokes about, in the earlier episodes, they make a lot of jokes about House Party. I didn't realize until just recently, though, a lot of the characters from House Party, or I'll say the actors and whatnot from House Party, ended up on The Fresh Prince.
Yeah.
From Tisha Campbell, her best friend on House Party, she's on an episode where Will is pretends that he's getting poetry from the person called what is it, El Degato or something like that.
Oh,
What is his name?
the
The Ghetto or something like that. And he gets his butler to kind of play him. But yeah, she's on there. There's a guy from the point. So, like, in the house party, there's a point where Kid's father pops into the party and he's like, "Where's Kid?" And one of the guys is like, "Why don't you go home, Pops?" That particular actor is actually in The Fresh Prince and he's talking to Uncle Phil in a similar manner. It's like, who are? I don't even know who you are, but I know that I've seen you in this place and now I see you here. And so even the people who didn't really have, like, a big name at the time, they were pulled in different areas. And I thought that was really, really cool.
I one thing that we think is funny is that like Nia Long was on Fresh Prince, right? But she was on Fresh Prince like early. She
Yeah.
was on Fresh Prince like in the first year as as one character, and then she ends up coming back as a totally different character. And it was like, are we recycling black actors?
Well, shoot, that happened with Denise's husband, who had Raven, as his,
Yes.
his daughter or whatever. He was in, I want to say, the first season as a date for the older daughter, and then he came back as Denise's husband as a totally different character. I'm not mad at double dipping. Wait, I know I've seen you before.
I think because we didn't have the ability to binge back then, unless you were recording these things on your VCR, you were not. We did not get to watch these shows canonically. We didn't. Like, you missed it. You caught a rerun 6 weeks later when they had a break. And that's it. You did not get to see every episode unless you watched the reruns. And so it was not easy sometimes to catch these things.
Yeah, like, and granted, I was one of the people who was recording it each week, and yeah, I was like, huh, I've seen you before. Okay, they tried to pull a fast one. All right, and because it wasn't even like, I mean, granted, his character was different, but his mannerisms, the way he talked and everything. I mean, granted, it's the same person, but they didn't try to hide it for the most part. Just come back. No one's gonna know. No one's gonna know. It was 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Don't worry about it. It's cool. Oh man. But what's another show that we liked?
So we've talked about Fresh Prince. We've talked about, well, let's talk about Family Matters.
Right. Okay. Family Matters.
Family Matters was a great show. It was on TGIF. And watching shows on ABC was always easier for us as a family because ABC 7 always came through really well on the antenna. We had a really hard time getting other channels. Like, ABC 7 was the best. Channel Fox was one of the worst. Like, anything above Channel 9, we did not count. Because if you didn't have cable, you didn't get any channels between 9 and 20. Like, that was it. So you got Channel 20, which was Paramount, and then turned into UPN, and then turned into whatever. And then we had 50, which was the WB.
Right.
So I was kind of limited sometimes when it came to watching television shows. It was typically on ABC 7. So TGIF was a huge thing. Anybody who grew up in the 90s knows about TGIF. And you had those four shows. It was like Full House, and they used to always cycle the other two shows in because you didn't know like what the run was. Was it a 2-year show? Was it a, you just didn't know.
Right.
And Family Matters was on in that spot for a long time, and it was popular. Steve Urkel, nobody, like, he was a verb. Yeah. He was a noun. He was an adjective. So
he was, yeah, everywhere.
He was everything. He carried that show, and it was fun because it was a show that was kind of representative, like, of other shows that we had grown up with in the 80s, other things that we had seen. And it was like, okay, this is a really good show. And it's a Black family. So, yeah. You know, easier to identify with. And it wasn't like a story that people couldn't identify with. It was a normal suburbia story.
Yeah.
And it was fun. I thought it was a good show. And we all still ask the question, what happened to Karen? No one knows what happened to Karen. She walked up the stairs that one episode and never came back downstairs.
Oh, I know what happened. And it's
yes,
rather unfortunate.
Rather. Karen walked up the stairs a girl and came down a woman.
Yeah, it was. Anywho. And, you know, speaking of that sort of thing, like, there's as much as, like, I think that Family Matters is cemented as, like, a iconic show, it has some problems. It did.
Yeah.
And like, similar to a couple other shows where, like, there was just things I didn't like, especially watching it all the way through. Like I said, with being really corny, sometimes the messages that they were trying to get across didn't stick. Mm-hmm. For instance, it's like, you know, the idea of racism in that show, it's like a joke, or like, you know, gang violence or whatever. It's corny. And so because of it, it's like, eh, like, it's different Rock's treatment, or even like the Fresh Prince treatment, where like, there's no laughter. There's no laugh track. At this point, there's no, like, this needs to be serious. We need to get this across because we're trying to either educate or inform. And there are times with Family Matters where neither of that happened. And it could have. And it was like, dang, man, like, you know, when I was younger, it didn't really matter. But older, going back now, it's like, it doesn't land the way it should have. It doesn't stand the test of time in certain areas. And then it was also the idea of, like, I guess, character treatment. Like, there's, you know, whereas Steve Urkel is basically harassing someone for, like, like 9 seasons. Like, you're very much a stalker at this point. Like, you know, low-key Pepe Le Pew's type stuff.
Totally.
But then towards the end of it, it's like, well, you know what? You know, choosing between him and Stefan, like, she chose to marry Urkel. And it was like, you guys are very toxic. Like, you're not, like, how your relationship came about was through all sorts of mess. And if I was Urkel, I'd be like, you know what? I don't think I want to date you or get married. Yeah. Like, the way that Kent kind of came, I mean, it was good in terms of, like, viewers, like, you know, hey, they finally get together. But it was like, this is the way we do it? Like, this is, you should have just moved on at this point. And I'm not going to lie, like, you know, as romantic as it might seem, if we're looking at A Different World and how Dwayne got Whitley towards the end, you know, basically interrupting her wedding, that was trash too. Like, there's just, like, a lot of things that are done in a very trash way, and we kind of let it go because it's we want these two people to be together.
Yes.
But it was just not healthy, not healthy at all. So there's a couple things that I'm like, yeah. But beyond that, I think it was a very good show. I think it was funny at, at times, and I think that they were able to do social positive things, taking up the mantle of the previous shows that we talked about.
Right. Yeah, and I do agree because I think I think to maybe the creators and the writers to maintain this semblance of this is just an average sitcom show, it's just that all the actors are black, they decided to do this kind of superficial idea of what would kind of pass and be palpable to, or sorry, palatable to everyone. And that
Yeah.
did kind of leave us and this is something that happens in the industry anyway, in the entertainment industry. It happens in a general sense in life where you have to appease multiple audiences, but you also have this intent to highlight a marginalized group, but instead of highlighting the marginalized group and being true to the group, you sell out,
Yeah.
and there's this idea that if we want the money and we want the viewers and we want everybody involved, we want everybody to see this, we have to do it a certain way. It's kind of like Pink being told that she needed to be an R&B star by L.A. Reid because her being just another rocker wasn't going to cut it. Oh yeah, but he was right. He made her a freaking R&B star, and we were all like, "Yeah, Pink is the bomb." And then her next CD dropped, and we were like, "Who is this girl? What happened?" And now she's one of the biggest pop stars in the world. He wasn't wrong. He was right. It worked, did it not?
I mean,
She had to lie to herself for a while.
I mean that's I mean we look at, like we said, Family Matters is iconic. It's everyone
Yeah,
knows it, and
everyone.
Steve Urkel is that's a thing.
The household name.
Did I do that is a saying.
Yeah.
But if we were to go backwards and look at what some of these other shows did, in comparison, it's like
Yeah.
you're kind of low on the totem pole. So
Yeah.
it's at least it, maybe from a black perspective, maybe from a, standing the test of time. Does your jokes are your
Right.
jokes still funny? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because there's a ton of like shows that went to UPN that
Yeah.
are totally forgettable that I just don't
Yeah.
care about in any, yes, like any imagination. I don't even remember the names of them.
Remember half of them. We're just like,
Yeah.
huh? What? Eh?
I was just like, it's not. I remember like watching, and this is no shot to like anybody a part of this show, but I remember watching the D.L. Hughley show and
Oh yeah.
I was expecting one thing. And I got something different. And
I agree with you. Continue though. I want to hear what you think.
it was basic. It was such a different type of comedy from him, and even from the other people that were on the show with him, that it was just like I didn't expect this, and so it was kind of hard to sit through. I didn't laugh much at all, and yeah, I'm not sure how well that show did because I stopped watching, but
Yeah.
it was just I was like, "Ooh, this is not the look. This isn't."
I didn't know D.L. Hughley that well. I knew he was a comedian, but I never watched any of his comedy, so I was new to him. So I was one of the kids coming off of the, Family Matters type show. Like, are you gonna be okay? This is a black sitcom. This is a sitcom with black people. Cool. Like that. I was literally on that same suburban type like ticker, and I actually felt like the show was different. I was like, when he was coming out with his jokes and stuff, I was like, there were cringe moments.
Yes.
There were actually moments that made me cringe, and I was like, "Oh, is this on what channel again?"
Yeah.
Because that's just how I felt back then. I remember watching the show and maybe not laughing, and I cannot remember if it was my older sister, who I was watching it with, and she was like, who is this? Or what is this? Like, I don't think this is funny, or something like that. And then I remember being like, oh, it's D.L. Hughley show, something, da da da. And just I remember whoever I was with was just like, not necessarily this isn't funny, but it was like, did he just say that on TV? Like, you know, some of the jokes that he said back then is stuff that we're more okay with now. Like, some of the stuff that he said can go on Black-ish right now and nobody's going to bat an eye.
Right.
But I thought with some of the jokes that he pulled back then, it was like, we weren't ready for it, or B, it wasn't even that we weren't ready for it. I sometimes felt like his jokes were a little bit more, I don't even want to use the word aggressive, but like, it was like a cat scratching you just to get your attention, you know, just to be like, hey, I'm here and I'm going to say some shit that's going to get under your skin.
It wasn't even that for me. It was like, you took a joke and, you know, you were like, you know what? We could be real clever about this. And mm-hmm. we could be progressive about this. We could be, you know, there's so many ways we could take this. Let's just throw it. Let's just throw it at the audience and see if it sticks.
Let's see what they say. Let's see.
And in that sense, there was a, because the type of comedy that he does, and granted, no one, I think only Bill Cosby was the only show that was similar to his stand-up. I think everybody else who was a comedian who got a show, the show mm-hmm. was different from their stand-up.
Right.
So I didn't expect him to be as edgy as he usually was. However, mm-hmm. I felt like this is just me being honest. I felt like he was like, you know what? We got to sell to white people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we do say something that's black related, it's going to be the most outlandish, the most we're marking this as a black joke. And
yeah.
It doesn't land for us. So the only people who are laughing are white people. And
right.
then it's like, yo, this is mad corny. Like, this is not what I expected.
Yeah.
And in a sense, it's worse than, like, Family Matters, because at least Family Matters was like, there was no expectation going in. And then when we did get to a black thing, it was just a thing. It wasn't something that was going to be highlighted for a joke that ultimately fails. Whereas, like,
right.
D.L. Hughley, it was like a constant, like, you know how white people are, you know how black people are. I think, what was the show what is that show called again?
The Jeffersons?
Yes. So the Jeffersons do that a lot, where it's like black and white, black and white, black and white. That's most of their jokes. However, I think, and granted, this also, it's an older show, so, you know, there's that.
Right.
But I think also, there were, especially when it got later on in the show, it was fine-tuned. When we got a black joke or a white joke, you know, like we're making fun of the differences between us, it was very tuned for the moment or tuned for the characters. It wasn't just, ha, 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 black people do this. Like that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't, you're not, what are you trying to say? Are you saying anything? Or is this just I felt like someone just came up and was like, here's some watermelon, and then walked away. Like,
and walked away. It was like, wait a minute. Wait, am I supposed to laugh?
Yeah, like, how am I supposed to feel? Like,
I want to laugh, but I also want to eat the watermelon. And I also, I'm going to ask if there's seeds. Also, don't want to be caught eating it on TV. Also, is there a sale? Also, is anybody watching me? You know what I mean? Like, there's so many feelings.
It just wasn't. It wasn't right. And there was a lot of UPN like shows that are very cringe. And I don't know what if the idea was like, we need to make it this way. We have to, you know, in order, because they were on for more than one season. Like, a lot of these shows were on for more than one season. So they did something right, but
I don't even know sometimes if they did. I, you know, those Nielsen ratings would go in. That's something that we never really got to see when we were young. We never got to see the ratings. So we really don't know how those things were factored. And apparently they got some ratings that they needed to, they had to pass some certain benchmark and they got them. And, you know, if you were like us, watching these shows, especially at the timing that they came on, was like part of dinner sometimes.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's like, if the kids are occupied by eating, you know, their dinner and watching these shows, and they're all in the same place, you know, at least all of the kids are in the living room, you know, it's like, okay, just let them watch whatever's on TV. And I feel like sometimes some of these shows, depending on their placement, because that's also a science, the people who run the networks, they run these things, and they're like, we need to put this show at this time because it may not be a good show, but if we put it on before or after this show, people will watch it. Why? Because it's sandwiched in between their favorite stuff, or it comes on right before their favorite thing, and, you know, they don't want to miss it. So they're going to, you know, there's science that goes into this. And so some of these shows do well, even though they're not very good shows, they do well because of their time slot. And yeah. I think that's why some of these shows got to stay for longer periods than they should have, just because somebody did well on the scientific portion. Because even if the show didn't do well for itself, the network is still going to make money, and the network execs are going to make money from the advertising as long as it's well placed.
Well, then there's also go ahead.
Black people supported it.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we definitely watched it just because Black people were on it. That, yeah, yeah. That's a thing. Yep.
Yeah. Yep, that was definitely a thing back, like, especially back then, we kind of had to. We can count the amounts of Black shows. Like, we can list them. Like, we know what they are. If I say In the House, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
If I say, you know, 227, Sanford and Son, if I say Fat Albert, if I say, anyway, there's a million. Let me take that back. There's not a million.
Right.
There's a amount. There's a finite amount, and we can name them, and our ears will perk because there were so few that we would watch them, not just to support Black people, but we would watch them because it's like, oh, we should be watching.
Yeah.
You know, if your friend tells you, oh, hey, there's this new show coming on, da da da, and it's like, and then you're like, oh, it's Black people. Let me sit down and watch it. You need to have to like it, but you it was assigned to you. You thought you're like, okay, because I know I felt like that watching, honestly, like even watching Family Matters for real, because I do remember kind of being young and maybe and not loving the show. Right. I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I know that I kind of sat through it, even though the jokes were corny and Laura got on my nerves, and but just it, honestly, I say that and I'm like, Laura got on my nerves. Laura did get on my nerves, but Steve was the lovable. He was lovable and annoying at the same time. And they made Laura to be like, she was mean, but in real life, Laura would have been my BFF because she was being harassed. You know what I mean? And so, and it was also that thing about that show that actually made it more annoying for me. So there were aspects of that show that I didn't actually like, but I still sat through it. Why? Because it was an event. It was all of us, you know, as young kids, family, and, you know, eating or doing our homework and watching this show. And I know a lot of other Black families did the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's like you said, it was an event. And there was also this idea of like, or at least the notion that there was only a few of them on at one time. You know, when one went off, it was like, okay, now you're allowed to have another show. And it was like, okay, we're definitely watching this one because we want it to be around a little bit longer. And then even then, it's not to say that, not, you know, there were some good ones, because, like, you know, Martin and Living Single, and those great shows that we supported, and they turned out to be good as well. It was just, there's a couple that it was like, ah. But then those shows were specifically us. I remember the guy who played Kyle.
Yeah, he did an interview.
He was talking about how they wanted him to be like a goofball at one point.
Yeah.
And how he was like, that's not going to happen. Like, we're going to be intelligent. We're going to have jokes, but we're going to be intelligent. We're going to be, you know, respectful of women. We're, you know, just like, you know, because the show is about women, but if we're going to be on with them, we're going to be respectful. And that was super cool. And it was something that bled through in the show without me knowing. Like, I heard about that interview, or saw that interview after the fact.
Yeah. But It was recently. He just did the interview this a couple months ago or so.
Right. And
so,
and like but then it's still noticing it when I was watching the show. Like, oh, this isn't going the way I thought it would go. And this is good because of it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was unfortunate how it basically turned into Friends.
Yeah.
But, you know, while it was on, it was pretty great. And
it was prime. It was great. It was entertaining. I was watching it actually a few weeks ago. I was just binging on it because I was like, oh, I need something to watch while I forgot I was doing some sort of activity. I was probably folding laundry. And I needed to watch something, and I was watching that, and I was like, show was fun. Man, Khadijah ran her own magazine. Like, that show was a lot of fun. And Max, you know, not having a job,
she became a lawyer.
Well, she was a lawyer and she had a job, and then she got like fired from her firm, and then she didn't have a job for a while. Like, it was a whole span of like 8 episodes, or I don't even remember how long it was. It was like half of a whole season.
Yeah.
She didn't have a job, and so she couldn't afford a phone, so she was coming over to use their phone.
Yes.
And like using their, like, doing everything that was the worst thing to do as a friend, eating all their food. You know? And then she got a job at like legal aid. I'll take it. It was good. I felt, you know, I actually being an adult and watching it over again, I felt some, like, just some similarities of life going through as an older person. You know, I was a teenager watching the show, and then I'm an adult, and I was like, oh yeah, I know what it's like to have a career and then lose your job and really, really like falling apart. And, you know, she looked a hot mess.
Yes. Yeah.
She looked crazy. She was on their couch, like in her robe, and just looking a hot mess. Mind you, I've never gone over to my friends in my adulthood and like sat on their couch and ate all their food while I was broke. I typically do that on my own couch. But I don't need anybody to see me while I'm broken desperate. But I just thought it was kind of funny to watch that grown up. Such a different perspective when you watch grown-ups grown up and when you watch grown-ups as a kid. Because as a kid, you don't necessarily grasp it. I realized that I watched those shows as comedies. I never, ever watched those shows with the intention of real life. I didn't.
Yeah.
I did not watch, like, I remember A Different World being, being a literal different world. But I watched it for the funny. I watched it because I always wanted to find out what was going on with Whitley and Dwayne. Like, so those were my reasons for watching the show. And you know, it always delivered on that kind of stuff. But I never watched those shows for those serious lessons. I really didn't. And it wasn't until I was adult that I actually absorbed those lessons. And I was like, man, I really did watch TV for entertainment. I did not watch TV to learn when I was young. The only thing that ever taught me when I was young was Reading Rainbow, The More You Know, Conjunction Junction, and all those little what's it called. And yes, wait for it, soap operas. I learned a lot from ABC.
Oh my gosh.
I don't care what anybody said. I would never put my child in front of those shows nowadays. No siree. Why? Because they're full of bad acting and terrible storylines. However, if you grew up when Max and Luna were together on One Life to Live, you could have learned something. And you know what the best learning I ever learned was? Sunny and Brenda to Sunny and Carly, and Sunny to Alexis, and Sunny back to Carly, and Jason to Carly. Anyway, there was a throuple going on in there. I learned a lot about people. The Quartermain, freaking Alan Quartermain, and what's his wife? Doesn't matter. The point is, soap operas teach you things.
Dude.
And Erica Kane.
Dude, I totally watched for lessons. I didn't learn any of them from soap operas.
That's unfortunate.
My elders were watching Matlock in the Heat of the Night, and
yo, great shows,
like
great shows.
What yes, and what else was it? It was you know what, those shows
Murder,
were
She Wrote.
Yes, Murder, She Wrote, there you go. Those shows were like, they were, there was one of the shows where like they were good, but I never wanted to watch them, but if I started watching them, I couldn't freaking finish. Like I couldn't go away until I finish. Like I had to figure it out. Like what was going on? Who did what?
Of course, I watched every episode of like Columbo and Perry
yes.
Mason. Come on, man, Columbo. That's that was my stuff. If you ask me right now, I don't remember anything. But okay, I grew up on it. I used to watch it. That was my stuff. Watch it with my dad. We used to sit there. I was like, this show is great. Those shows, they shaped me. They
yeah.
shaped my life.
It's those experiences. It's interesting how things, well, in certain senses, how things are circular. So going
yeah.
back to A Different World and how they were talking about the LA riots and how they were like, well, we hope in 10 years this is all behind us and this will never happen again. And
wow,
yeah, it hits different watching now. And
it
then
does.
You know, and then so there's that, but then there's also how people think, how the writing style or how comedy works. I mentioned
yes.
Previously about on the Dick Van Dyke Show how they had a Halloween episode that is redone in Martin, and with, you know, with their own flavor and everything. And it's like, there's certain things, there's certain aspects that are almost timeless in what they do and how
yeah.
they perform. And it's almost like a play. And in doing that, able to give people entertainment and information that is, that they can use years later. Like there's things that you can pull from going back to those shows to look at how, life has changed, or look at history. Like there's certain things that are historic that, oh, we don't do that anymore. For instance, like the Dick Van Dyke Show, how the wife and the husband slept in separate beds because that was a thing.
Mm-hmm. That was the thing.
And or like let's see, like in the Cosby Show, in the sense that like you were saying, like, you know, we want to have both parents that are working, both parents are successful. There wasn't a lot of shows. Maybe Sanford and Son, maybe, but there wasn't a lot of, outside of Good Times, there wasn't a lot of shows that were like, we're going to show the poor aspect of us. I think Rock was kind of there, but he made decent money.
He made good money because he was a trash man.
Right. There was, he wasn't rich by any means.
Right.
So that was a factor, but it wasn't like Good Times where they were literally
right.
scraping by and
totally in a tube.
Yes. And it worked. It worked.
I still don't know whose room was whose. I still, to this day, still do not know. I can't, because I know there were episodes where it showed who shared a room, but I'm telling you, because, you know, after James doesn't come back,
yeah.
he stopped working on the show. After he stopped, after he never came home that episode, and, you know, there's an episode where JJ is fighting with what's the sister's name? And they're fighting over the room. And I'm
yeah.
like, wait a minute. She's the only girl and she's a grown up. Y'all aren't sharing a room anymore. It would make more sense if she was sharing the room with her mother and the boys were in their own room. Is this how it's happening?
I think how it's basically whatever we needed for the script at this point. This was a point of contention. So now you two share a room. Like that's what that was.
I couldn't. You're right about that, because I was like, for the life of me, because I was like, when James and Florida were sharing a bedroom, it was you know, and the kids were sharing. That's fine. I grew up like that. Shoot, I know how to share a room. But I got confused after a while because it felt like at one point there was a third bedroom. I was like, but then I'm like, because I don't know. I was like, maybe it was what's her face and Michael were sharing the room, and then JJ was sleeping on the couch.
I think so. The way they made him seem, it was almost like he was living on his own, but wasn't.
But wasn't.
You know what I mean? Because he was so detached at certain points that it was like, you just kind of are here. And obviously, like, I don't know, maybe it's because of the sets, but they rarely ever went back to a different room. Everything usually happened in the living room for that show.
Yes.
Or in the hallway.
In the hallway.
So, like, yeah, it wasn't really, it was hard to tell who had what. But yeah, like, even then, like, there's historical things that you can point out and be like, oh, this was us at a certain point, and this is us at another point.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I think that, you know, because I know people love to be like, you know, TV rots your brain. I'm like, you know what? Anything can rot your brain.
Anything.
You know, you can indulge in books way too much. If you're picking the wrong books, you're going to be, you know, all sorts of messed up. But I think that how you watch TV and how you absorb some of the information, there's a lot of learning there.
And a lot.
Even if it's not, you know, Sesame Street or Reading Rainbow, there's a lot. There's a lot of a sense of self that was shown that, not to say that I wouldn't have anyways, just being around other Black people, but there's a sense of self that I recognize. I recognize, even though I was never at the point of how JJ might have been, I can recognize that as a thing. I've seen that. I've been around that. That's normal to me. And so it still speaks to us, even if we're not exactly in their place. Even the Cosby Show spoke to me, even though I've never been rich. Like, I've never had doctor money. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, like, it's nice to have a stamp on time.
Yeah.
From our perspective, that kind of runs the gamut, even for the corny shows. That's kind of nice.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
I agree with you. I agree.
So it looks like we are coming up on an hour 11. So
alrighty.
We're going to wrap things up. Hopefully you enjoyed our discussion on TV shows. Let us know if you would like us to continue. I know we kind of, like I said, we couldn't get to every show that we wanted to, and some of them, like Sanford and Son, we just don't remember that well.
I remember that show great, to be honest with you, because Red Fox reminds me of my dad so much.
Like, so I remember certain episodes and catchphrases. But it's in terms of like analysis, I will be willing to go check it out. Like, if I can find it, I can definitely, you know, look into it, and, you know, we can come back and talk again. So let us know if there's a certain show you want us to talk about more of, or, you know, kind of like analyze, you know, a certain episode even would probably be better, to kind of break down, like, you know, what's happening in a certain episode. That would be really cool. But don't forget to subscribe and hit that notification bell so you know when other content is going up. Aside from the game cast, like I said, we have streaming that we do. We play different video games, and we have the Uno Night. We just did this past Monday, we did a episode with a streamer called V.Me. He's a Black streamer who kind of just shared how he kind of got started and what he's looking to do in terms of the future and continuing and whatnot. A lot of good information there. Definitely go check that out on that episode of Uno Night. Stuff that's popping up on the website. A lot of good stuff there. So go check it out, unitedfrontgaming.com. All of the follows and all that good stuff is going to be in the description. So check that out as well. You can follow us on various social media platforms, whether or not we're there. But yeah, definitely do that. And like I said, let us know what you like, what you didn't like. Hit the notification bell, subscribe, and share with your friends and loved ones. If you truly love them, you would share.
You would share. It's caring.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah, that's all I have. Look forward to discussing some current events maybe next week.
Sounds good.
Have some comments on some things that were said this past week by some famous people.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, we're just going to have to drop some nuggets on that next week. But I'm talking to you, Terry Crews. I'm talking to you.
I am so done with him. I am so, and it was so, he was such a, I had him at such a high regard because he did a lot of cool things at one point. And he's a dope artist. Like, but I mean, like in terms of illustration, but like you just say some of the goofiest things, and sometimes you just need to shut up. Just shut up.
It's unfortunate because sometimes you it's like, you know what? I think we did ask him to shut up. You know, when he shut up after he said the thing about Gabrielle Union, like, or, you know, and it was like, hey, you know, we called you. We're like, hey, bro, you just need to kind of sit back and be quiet and think about what you just did. And he did. And he's like, oh, you know what? I made a mistake, y'all. I'm actually sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I diminished your experience, and that was wrong of me. Apologize. Let me be quiet for a minute. When he comes back and he says some other stuff, it's like, you know what? You don't need to shut up. You're showing who you really are. And now we know. Because if you hadn't spoken up, we wouldn't know that you were this type of person. And now we know. So now we can drag you for filth. Thank you. Thank you for giving me the ammunition. Because when I'm ready, I will drag you. As soon as I get my nails done, as soon as I can get back into the nail salon and get some 9-inch stilettos, I will drag you, sir.
I'm looking
All
forward to
300
next
pounds
week.
of
I have been saying some stuff all week long, and yeah, I am looking forward to next week. It's just, yeah, next week's gonna be fun. That's just gonna
Yeah,
be fun.
get into it. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks so much for listening. Thank you to all of the, once again, first responders out there doing the damn thing. To all of the states that haven't reopened yet, this is a great thing. You really shouldn't reopen. But for all the people who've been working this whole time, again, we applaud you and we salute you. Thank you for doing what you do, which means all of the people who work at the grocery store, the
Yes.
Targets, the Walmart, the Walgreenses, the CVSs, all everybody who's out there doing, and all of the restaurants that have been open and serving everybody through the whole coronavirus issue. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you. We really do. Give you a little clap. All the
Yes.
parents who had to homeschool.
Yes. Don't send your kid back to school. Don't do it.
Please don't send your kids back to school in the fall, guys. Please don't. If
No.
you care and you love other human beings, in fact, if you care about you,
Yeah.
wear a mask and don't send your kids back to school.
I saw a tweet where someone said, schools can't, they can't control lice. How are they gonna control?
Who said that? Did Black Twitter say that? Because only people raw enough for Black Twitter say that kind of stuff. Like, yeah, you can control lice. Then no, you can't control. How you gonna, if you can't control a bug you can see, how you gonna control one you can't see?
Fam.
All right, you guys can't stop the same kid from getting infected with the common cold the week after they just spread it to some other kids. Then how you gonna stop this? Come on, let's use our
Dude.
heads. Let's use our head. Well, first of all, let's use our face masks. And if anybody out there is a Patrick Dempsey fan or Grey's Anatomy fan, just remember, today is a beautiful day to save lives. Wear your mask.
Yes.
Let's do it. I'm wearing a mask. I'm not, but I am. I wear a mask every time I leave my apartment. I don't like it. I hate it, but I'm doing it.
Yes, because we
Because my
don't.
throat hurts and I really don't know if I have corona or not. So anyway, I have my reasons. Thanks for listening, everyone. We love you. We hope to see you next week. Have a great one. Stay alive, survive. Bye-bye.